Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Community Conversations podcast. My name is Brian Hess, and I'm joined today by Abby Weldon.
Hello.
And Noah Chant.
Hello.
I'll never
get used to Abby Weldon.
I know. Every time I
feel like
every
we
time
talk
I'm
about this every
up,
podcast.
I know. Every time I'm gearing up to say your name, it takes me a second
to register.
To get there.
Yeah.
Yeah, because yeah, you're Abby Chant in my phone.
I think I'm Abby Chant in everybody's phone. I feel like that's because also we're like, we are associated as the Chant.
Well, I think Chant can for us can be associated
as a personality
trait.
Type. Yeah.
Chant is more of a lifestyle.
Yeah. Chant's more of like a subgroup.
It's more like a subgroup, sub-society.
So for those of you who don't know, we are in our scripture emphasis. Mm-hmm. And but I guess for those of you who don't know what an emphasis is, if you're just tuning in, maybe you're not part of the Be Love Company Church. We have what we call company emphases, and every 6 weeks we focus everything we do as a church. We let it be centered around one topic, and so we've narrowed down what we think are some of the most important topics that we just as believers and as a body need to be pursuing and learning about and understanding. And right now we are in our scripture emphasis, so we're going to be taking the next 6 weeks going through the book of Ephesians,
mm-hmm.
which works out because there's
six chapters.
Whoa. Yeah.
I wonder who picked that, man.
I wonder how he came up with
so
that.
Good. So
it's
good.
It's fun. It's the first time as a community that we have gone through a book of the Bible together. Kind of, you know, it's weird because it is a Sunday thing, but it feels very Bible study-ish.
Yeah.
More than Sunday-ish.
Yeah. No, I think a lot of people are really excited about it, though.
Yeah, it's fun doing like real verse-by-verse examination of scripture comparative to chunks you take out to prove your point.
Right, yeah, because typically we're more topical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm very thematic in how I preach normally.
Yeah, but I love this. So I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, we're in the scripture emphasis. So on this episode, we thought maybe it'd be fun to just talk about why even read the Bible.
Abby's been wondering. She's been waiting.
I've asked this question this whole time.
She's like, I'm not going to start until
first
I get a good reason.
First thing I asked when I was hired, why are you guys reading the Bible?
Yeah, why read the Bible?
Yeah, why is it important?
Spiritually, practically, what is it about this, not book, but this collection of books?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is it about this that we think is so important? Like, why should we be reading it? I do have some stats. If you want to start there.
Great.
Status.
I love a good stat.
Yeah.
So research shows that that a lot of what I'm about to say happens for people who read the Bible at least four times a week. So
all these stats are for people who read the scriptures at least four
times. If you don't read your Bible,
times.
You can exit out of this video now. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
If you're reading three times a week, I hate to
this is
tell
not
you.
For you.
This video's not for you.
So there's a lot of research that's come out that indicates that if you read it four times or more a week.
Is there a time?
I haven't seen that.
Okay.
Yeah, I
sure.
haven't seen that. Number.
I mean, the verse is powerful enough, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that does play into it.
Sure.
But so for people, generally speaking, who are reading the Bible at least four times a week, experience this. There is a 30% decrease in loneliness, a 32% decrease in anger issues, a 40% decrease in bitterness in relationships, 57% decrease in alcoholism, 68% decrease of sex outside of marriage.
Wow.
60% decrease in feeling spiritually stagnant. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Right. They're like, all of a sudden, I feel like a Christian when I read.
It's like eating healthier makes you feel better. Really?
Right. 61% decrease in viewing pornography.
Wow.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And on top of that, here are some big numbers. So that's all decrease. Now, here are some of the positive behaviors that we see in people who
increase
read the Bible.
Sales.
There's a 228% increase in like evangelizing, like sharing your faith with people.
That's insane.
A 231% increase in discipleship.
Wow.
Which, great.
Yeah.
It's right there. And a 407% increase in memorizing scripture. And of course, if you're not reading the Bible, you're not memorizing
scripture. Right.
But yeah, I just thought that was fascinating.
That is intriguing.
That is mm-hmm. cool.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. It brings to me the reality of, like, I don't think people have an awareness that, like, Jesus's prayer, his great prayer, the Lord's Prayer, our secret power weapon, the Lord's Prayer, is give us this day our daily bread.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, like, the Christian journey was actually never made up of thinking, I don't think, in years or decades.
Right.
Or centuries.
Yeah.
The Christian journey is actually made up on Mondays, Tuesdays. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think the Lord's expectation for us is to visualize, like, tomorrow. I think it's just to visualize today. You know?
And I think that's echoed even when, like, when Jesus says,
yeah,
don't worry about tomorrow's troubles. Like, yeah. Today's troubles are enough.
Yeah.
You know, literally.
Yeah. Like, don't, yeah. He says, you know, today, yeah, tomorrow has enough. Yesterday's gone. And, you know, it's all tied into, like, even the idea of, like, hey, if he clothes the lilies, how much more does he care about you? Like, yeah. Then today, don't worry about the food. Don't mm-hmm. worry about the food you're going to eat or the clothes you're going to wear. Like, just worry about today. And I don't know. Like, I think the scriptures feel a lot more unobtainable when I'm thinking about, like, getting to know all 66 books. But I think when I know that, like, even like right now, you know, we're in our reading plan, and today literally is just, because this is Monday when we're recording this. It's not Sunday. It's mm-hmm. not Wednesday, but. Today is literally Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through, I think, 5 or 6.
No, I don't. It's like chapter 1,
that's
verse
what I meant.
1
sorry,
to 2.
Yeah, sorry. Chapter yeah. 1, verses like 3 through 4 is what it is, or something
yeah,
like
it was
that.
Just, yeah.
Yeah, it was, I don't even think,
hold
I think
on.
It was like 1 and 2 I saw
I have
today.
It. Well, that was yesterday. It's Monday.
So, oh,
today
yeah,
is 3
yeah.
through 6.
It's
chapter
yeah,
1.
You're right, you're right.
It's
yeah.
3 verses.
It's, yeah, so we're
it's
doing
3 verses.
Yeah, we're going
just a
very
verses
slow.
A day.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like and I don't, you know, and I think the devotional world has and I don't think it's bad always. There's a like I you know, I do the shred in the new year, but like I don't think the scriptures are always meant to be chunk form. I think they're meant to be slow boiled. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like just allow them to you know, come over you in small portions, and this whole thing of scripture should be seen as a daily bread. Like I cannot, I'm just at this place in my life where this is just my honest opinion, just my own personal opinion. And here's the thing, I will give this caveat: people have kids, moments happen. I'm not saying you'll never bat 1,000. But if you don't, on average, read a little bit of scripture every day, how in the world could you call yourself an apprentice to Jesus? Mm-hmm. How in the world could you ever do that?
Yeah.
You can't. If there's not, like, on average, like, and I get it. Yeah. Like, literally last night, Benjamin woke up at 3 o'clock and was up until almost 7 in the morning. And so we slept because he fell back yeah. asleep. And he slept till I had to be at a meeting. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get really anything in. But I will tonight.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like there should like if you can't read a couple verses of the scriptures every day, you're not apprenticing under Jesus. You're doing something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that is insane to me.
Yeah.
I feel like we've had a lot of conversations. You made a joke at midweek last week of like some of the hardships of reading the Bible, especially I feel like the Old Testament, not necessarily even the New Testament, is this concept that it's hard to sometimes if you don't read the Bible properly, see the Lord one way and then read the Old Testament
mm-hmm.
and feel like that stands
mm-hmm. yeah.
because it seems like such a wrathful, angry, confusing God and almost at times a little contradicting, if that mm-hmm. makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think until you really know how to read the Bible, it's hard sometimes to read even just the smallest bit because mm-hmm. if you have a fear or a preconceived idea that you're going to go in and the Bible is just going to tell you what you fear, mm-hmm. which is that the Lord is actually not kind or he's angry, you're going to go in the Bible and read it and you're going to find that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's going to be your lens. And yeah. I think even we've had a lot of conversations, Noah and I have like, you have to be careful how you read the Bible because you can find anything you want to find, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's like when people say they don't believe in the Holy Spirit because they read their Bible. I'm like, I don't think we're reading the same Bible.
The same scriptures.
But it's because you're going yeah. into it looking to solidify
yeah. well,
what you want to be
it's
true.
It's eisegesis.
Yeah,
it's
right.
it's interpreting scripture through my my lens and my narrative, putting my stuff into it. That, like, you have to exegete scripture, which means it has to tell you what it's saying.
Yeah.
It has to tell you what it's trying to say. And we can't flip the script on that. And reading it daily will help. Like that to me is like, because like I would say, I would personally say that no one should be allowed to call themselves a practicing Christian without saying they read the scriptures daily.
Yeah. Mm.
You don't get to carry that title.
Sure.
Ever.
Yeah.
Like, come on, what are we doing?
Yeah.
I'm not asking you to, like, I mean, like Muslims spend 45 minutes in the morning on a carpet on the floor in prayer. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, and that's one of many things.
Many like, things they're very, do every day. And like, I think like the only way we fix those types of things of letting scripture speak over us is to be in scripture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not read it in these little segmented pieces in which we try to do.
Yeah. I think a lot of this stems back just to like what, like the role of, that discipleship has taken in the church today.
Yeah.
We've seen this digress over, you know, the last couple centuries or decades maybe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But like discipleship feels very optional right now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's not a high expectation for believers to be in, to really do anything.
No.
Other than
no.
Just kind of show up.
And, yeah.
Because, you know, we talk about this, you've talked about this for a long time now, but a lot of people just have the expectation that, well, I'm saved, so I'm just going to eke through life and then
Christianity, I think the greatest thing I've, like, one of the greatest analogies I've found is Christianity now is much like having a gym membership.
Yeah.
Sure.
Which means, like, you can get as much out of it as you want.
Pay monthly?
Yeah, I pay monthly. Yeah. But, like, at the end of the day, I get to tell people I'm a part of a gym, but I actually don't have to do anything. And most people, how many gym memberships are actually in use?
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, honest with you, like, you know, I think of that old joke from that show, King of Queens, when he talks about getting a home gym. And she goes, what are you going to do about the other three gym memberships you're currently a part of? You know, it's like, that's what it's like. It's like, I think being a Christian now is like being a member of a gym where it's like, well, I'm a part, but like, I kind of determine for myself what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that no more with, you know, like, and I think it's a big problem why we have such biblical illiteracy.
Yeah.
People are pretty biblically illiterate. And like, you know, at the end of the day, like, if Jesus came, and this is the important thing, like, you know, the topical name today is like, why the Bible? If Jesus says he comes to reveal the Father, then we have to read the words and teachings of Jesus to discover who the Father is.
Yeah. Yes.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. And I think, like Abby was saying before, a lot of people get tripped up reading the Old Testament because they don't understand that the Old Testament for us now has to be read and understood through the lens of the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus revealed the Father in a way that he hadn't been revealed yet to the Israelites.
Yes.
Yeah, totally.
Right? And so, and a lot of times, and there's just a lot about God that I think people don't understand that, for instance, like a lot of what I see now from like, whether it's atheists or like deconstructionists, a lot of the problems people have with the idea of God, I think is that like, well, God must not be real because if he were real, he'd be a lot more like me.
Yes.
He would think like me.
Yeah.
It's like, no.
It's very
no.
Yeah. Narcissistic thing to assume.
It is, but like people have a hard time understanding like, well, God was the way, like we read the Old Testament the way we do and we see him the way.
Yeah.
The way he was, because he's just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, well, and I think not making him not being like me makes him who he is. Like there's a great there's a great line from Timothy Keller where he says that for us to have a God that we disagree with means that we have a God who must have reasons that we cannot understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so if he's a God with reasons we cannot understand, it means that we do not see the entire picture in which he sees.
Right.
And so we have to walk in with that as an exciting thing. If I do not understand him, it must mean he's bigger than me, which is good because it means that he has reasons that I don't have.
Hello.
Yeah.
Like that's the base. That should be the base of apologetics, right?
Yeah.
Is that he must have reasons that I don't have for why he's doing what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so like, I think that plays a large role because we are not understanding the full character and nature of Jesus, and we're not even knowing the narrative. Like I don't know how many people have read Acts and have seen how this journey happened, of how this became such a large movement. Mm-hmm. It's an incredible story. You're like, what? Like it just blows your mind.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I also think it's a little bit difficult because I feel like Southern culture can sometimes create like a misconception that religion and responsibility are kind of hand in hand. Like, well, if I'm being like responsible, then it's religion,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there's like this reality that they don't coincide and they're not the same. And you can actually be responsible in, like you said, choosing daily bread and it not be this thing of religion. Like,
yeah,
there's a lot of things that I do that I don't want to do that don't come from like this deep, painful place of like, I think the Lord's out to get me or he hates me because, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. Yeah. It's just because I know that this is what's good for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's
yeah,
days and you're going to get up and read and it's not going to be like, I'm feeling already refreshed. I haven't even opened it yet. And yeah. I'm so in love.
Well, and it's hard, right?
Concept, you know what I mean?
Our cultural context in which our community and life is built around is that Christianity is a part of our culture.
Yes.
So when it becomes part of our culture, it doesn't often carry, like, you know, I know we use this in a bad way. It's not a religion. It's a cultural thing.
Yeah.
And so because of that, like, you know, it's either legalism or it's nothing here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, like in a more secular context, Christianity is a choice.
Yeah.
Here it's just what you do.
Right.
Yeah. It's you don't even have to come to church. But no. If I meet you at the grocery store, you're a Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a Christian. You're a Christian.
I assume everyone here is a believer. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
In this city.
Yeah.
And so it's definitely a contrasting cultural context for us, which is we are not battling people who are trying to understand how to be practicing Christians. It's battling people who have thought for maybe 40 or 30 or 20 or 10 years that they are practicing Christians.
Right.
And yeah. It's basically breaking bad news. Mm-hmm. Going, I actually have bad news. You're not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're not. Yeah. And the thing is, like, I just don't understand how, like, the big ask of the church should be that you sit, like, pray and read.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, that's it. Like, you want to, like if I were to say, okay, like what is the bare minimum of calling yourself a practicing Christian? It's every day you pray and read.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying intercessory prayer. Yeah. I'm not in a prayer closet with declarations and sticky notes and like, you know, screaming yeah. out, you know, for my city. Say that, like, literally Dallas Willard said, there's more days than not. Like, I've had a lot to do. I'll say the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
Say the Lord's Prayer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That will take you half a second.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not saying go crazy, but like, you know, because it's a cultural thing, like, you know, we have to talk about why the Bible, and that's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also think that, like you're saying, culturally in our society, specifically where we're at in our region, I think the banner of Christianity for a really long time. And honestly, I think even though this is our cultural river to be like, the Bible's important, these things need to be talked about and we discuss these things, but I think we'd be shocked at how many people still don't. It's sure. not like a yeah. thing that people sure. were doing. People are still doing this.
Sure.
Where like the start and stop for Christianity is salvation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if I'm saved, I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's sometimes why. Like,
well, and they
you
pick
know what
up
I mean?
Seasons of like, they ebb and flow.
Yeah.
So like in the new year, they will start a 1 year Bible plan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then, yeah. you know, at Christmas, they'll be like, crap, Jesus' birth is coming up. I should probably, you know,
probably
step
get
back,
into that.
Start, probably step back into it a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah.
There are ebbs and flows, but like, and I think the problem is like, I think people are a little like nervous about what it's going to cost. It's like, you don't have to kill it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have to do the Bible shred. Like, you could simply do like a couple verses, like just read a psalm in the morning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like take Matt, like go through Matt, like literally chat GPT, take me through the book of the Gospel of Matthew for 6 months.
Yeah.
You'll probably have to read like a verse a day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to go insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but also this is God, so like you could go insane. Like, don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Don't
yeah.
be afraid to be
yeah,
devoted.
Don't be afraid to.
Don't be afraid to be devoted to Jesus here.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I just think like, why the Bible? Because like, this is how we discover who he is, his teachings, his ways. Like,
yeah.
It's as simple as like, you know why? Like, it's like, you know, like it's so funny because we are a generation and we're in a moment in cultural society where we fiend and we're gorged on resources for anything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cooking, cleaning, design, fashion, things I like, movies. Yeah. And we will mm-hmm. research. You know what I mean? I've been watching a couple shows, which made me lead to reading a biography, which made me lead mm-hmm. to reading a book. It's like, I mean, I'm soaking something up. It's like, but when we ask that or when we think about that, when it comes to our faith, somehow that's dramatic.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Or it's too sacrificial. Or I'm not going to be that. Like, we've talked about this before. Like, I forget the phrase, but kind of that like, when we imply that something's like overly Christian
mm-hmm.
or yeah. overly, there's a phrase, but I don't know. I can't think of it right now, but it's just that conversation of like, is
like legalistic?
Any, No, just like, is anything really like when somebody's like, oh, I do this for, you know, and I make fun of you for stuff. Yeah, like you're super Christian or like,
every time Abby makes fun of me for anything I do.
Yeah, for something, you know. But like it is, there is a question of like, is it really, like, is there anything really overly, you know, there are things, even sometimes I'm guilty of seeing on like Line or something and being like, okay, you know, and it's like, but really, is there really such thing as being overly?
Now Jesus, I will put a caveat. Jesus does say, go to your prayer closet alone. So quit posting your prayer stuff online.
But I mean, you know, we do have that thing of like being, it's like that overly Jesus freak thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, actually, you know, Is there such thing?
But I think that's just because we're comparing it. What we're comparing it to is such a low bar.
Yes.
100%.
Totally.
Yeah.
Because I think
well, tell
if,
me you
like,
don't watch The Chosen and you're like, I'm awful.
Yeah,
well, read
yeah.
the Bible and look at like the original apostles and it's like none of us are doing a lot.
No.
Yeah. No, exactly.
No.
Like if we're being honest. But like to look at like a Noah and realize how much he studies and how much he prays for most people, it's like, man, you're nuts, dude. Like,
yeah,
that's
sure.
That seems like a bit much. Yeah.
And
extreme.
I feel like I'm like you useless. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, like you don't read enough. Yeah. You don't do enough. Yeah.
But the bar is just so low.
Yeah.
That like anything feels like too much.
Because honestly, and it's hard to, you know, like getting in is not hard. Like getting into eternity is not the hardest part of this thing. Like you don't have, I'm not saying you've got to read and pray every day to be saved.
Right.
I'm saying if you want to call yourself a practicing Christian, that's what you have to do, right?
Yeah.
And so because the bar of entry feels low, which unfortunately it shouldn't, it should be honoring and humbling, but because it feels low, we're not too, because we like the bare minimum.
Yeah.
You know, we're the people that get our groceries delivered. Like we like the bare minimum. We're those people. We're that society. You know what I mean? And it's hard because, you know, it's you're not trying to like, you never want to offend. And you're also not trying to make this rules, but when do we ever reach a place where devotion eventually leads to action? And everything else in my life, devotion leads to action. In my marriage, in how I eat, in my hobbies, like it always leads to action. You know what I mean? Like I've been trying to take up pickleball and like I'm doing some research here. Like I'm getting ready to take some action on pickleball. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so like I think like how is this the only thing that we're devoted to that often doesn't take up action?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just doesn't make any sense,
right? Yeah, you don't want to come off like
you don't want to upset the apple cart,
like
here.
A loser, like a nerd, you know?
Yeah, he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah,
I'm gonna start walking around Hamilton Place Mall just carrying my Bible
and your pickleball set.
And my pickleball set.
Yeah, but yeah, unfortunately, that's kind of what we've come to.
It is
just as a society.
It's a hard and like I think like you know it's one of the things I brought up at midweek. Is like too like everyone should have a good Bible, like have a nice Bible, like that's your Bible.
Yeah.
Like also like I don't think people like have a Bible. They enjoy reading. I don't think they've thought through like translation and like you know like I took a lot of time to figure out like what Bible layout I like and single column, double column, verse by verse, you know all these things. And it's like have a Bible you like that when you get up in the morning you're like I'm gonna go read that sucker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like a journaling Bible. You can't wait to write in them. Yeah. You just want to fill up all the little lines with all your
really
thoughts.
You're really nervous. I'm literally shaking when I'm about to write in.
I hate writing in Bibles.
I do too.
It never looks. I look like I. Sometimes I was like a 4-year-old.
Sometimes I go back and I look at something I wrote and I was like, oh, that wasn't as profound.
you're like, gosh, wish I wrote that in pencil.
Listen, Noah's revelatory skills at 5 a.m. are not great. You know, I've started using mini sticky notes in mine.
Oh, nice.
So that way I can peel the sticky note out.
Have you seen translucent sticky notes?
I have.
Those are sick.
I have. What?
Those will change the Bible
thing is
game, yeah.
The I find the stick 'em on them a bit hard. Like when you've got real thin line, like my...
Noah's been ripping out parts of the Bible.
I'm
going to
nerd
like,
out with
that.
You. The GSP size on my paper in my Bible is 30. And a lot of times, like 90 is a real thick one.
Okay.
Mine's 30. And so like when you try to peel something off, it's like...
You know, the pages
you could sneeze
coming
on
off.
These pages and it's hard. So, but I like a good sticky because it keeps me from like those little mini ones because it keeps me from.
You're like, nope, don't like that. Nope, don't like that.
Nope. Change my mind. I don't like this.
Yeah.
You know, even like it took me forever to get a good highlighting system, but like all those things I think do in a fun way increase your Bible reading. Like, like a good way if you want to know like how to increase your Bible reading, have a highlighter system. Mm-hmm. Have some nice pens. Like, you know, like women are really great about that. Like where they like will write. Art, you know what I mean? Like write pictures and draw art in their Bibles. It brings it. It does bring it into a sense to life. Like you don't have to sit there stoically with a Bible and just you know, like make it something that will work for you functionally.
Yeah. Makes it something you enjoy.
Make the Bible work. Yeah. And if you're not a morning person, be an evening person.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, like if you're a lunch break person, be a lunch break person. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not saying you've got to start, it'd be great, but I'm not saying you've got to start your morning in the scriptures, start your morning however you want. But like at least at the beginning, find a functional way that you can be what you need to be to this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And read it every day, every day, every stinking day, you know, on vacation, read it, you know, on trips, read it, you know, just read it. When your kids see you reading the Bible, your grandkids see you reading the Bible, it changes them.
Yeah.
You know, I watch my dad. I've talked about that a lot on these podcast things. I watch my dad read the Bible every day. Mm-hmm. Every day. Mm-hmm. 365 days a year. He read a 1 year Bible mm-hmm. every year. And after he'd wear one out after 6 or 7 years, he'd read another one. And you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. a vacation.
And he's done that every year since he's been saved.
Airplanes, it doesn't matter. You know, just read the scriptures. Like let them pour over you. And mm-hmm. you know, those stats, I'm sure those people don't know why they're changing. Like the stats you read earlier, sure. I'm sure they don't notice that they're not watching porn or that they're not cheating on their wife. It's just what happens when you're in the presence of God.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just the way it is.
And I think it's a misconception that in order to start reading it, you have to understand it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you're going to go into reading it and not necessarily have a full understanding. I mean, I think, you know, you talked about this at midweek. Like, I think it is valuable to learn. Mm-hmm. I think it is valuable to know why.
Well, what was the other type of Bible I said everyone should have, Abby, at midweek? On top of their own Bible. What was the other type of Bible? Come on. You bought one this week.
Oh, like a study Bible.
A study Bible,
oh,
yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. People should also have a study Bible.
I thought you only said to have a study Bible.
No, well, I mean, if your only Bible is a study Bible, that's best. But at least if you're not going to get a study Bible, at least have a Bible.
Yeah.
But yeah, like a study Bible is great because all the stuff that may be weird could possibly be in the footnotes. Mm-hmm. You don't have mm-hmm. to worry about it. You know what I mean? It could be all, you know, condensed in there. Mm-hmm. And so that even helps with stuff like that, where you don't have to go in as a Bible scholar.
No,
most
you
people
can just,
will never.
No, and I think perfectionism can really kill us more as a society than we realize when it comes specifically, even to Christianity. Mm-hmm. You know, because shame can creep in and be like, if you're not gonna do this 100% and know what you're getting into and know what you're reading, then don't do it.
Well, and you know, like one of these topics we're talking about on the podcast is like the history of the Bible. Like, we should also be grateful, like all those letters, all of Acts, they didn't have this.
Like
there's so many generations that did not have a Bible. There's still countries where Bibles are illegal. Like the how grateful we should be that we own these is monumental.
Well, and I think we also miss the reality and the fact that, like, if I came to you and said to you that, like, I had a book that you've not read before and it's based off of your history, like it's a book about your history, you'd be like, oh my gosh, I'd love to read that. Like, I want to know, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the reality of the Bible. Like, when you become an apprentice of Jesus, it becomes your history now. Yeah. Becomes a part of your lineage and a part of what you're saved unto. And so even that's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. It's a big deal.
It's our history.
Yeah.
You know?
It's great.
It's a lot.
Good.
Read your scriptures.
So I guess we can just end by saying,
read, laugh, love.
Why the Bible? Because of the Bible. It's the most valuable written text we have. You know what I mean? It's the most valuable written text we have. Yeah. You know, Jesus is the word of God, but this is this is the only written word of God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might say it's the only book you can sit down and read with the author anytime.
We're going to end this right here, folks.
Everybody, this episode's sponsored by the Methodist Church.
All right. Well, good.
Yeah.
Good. Appreciate you guys.
Week one emphasis down.
That's it.
Get into Ephesians.
Literally, there's a whole reading plan for you.
There's a whole reading plan.
BeLoveCo.org/Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Great. Awesome. All right. Well, that's going to be it for this episode. To everybody who listened, thank you so much for listening, and we love you guys, and we'll see you next time.